don't look back, let's go. Set the pace, watch me steal the show. Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising fast. This is my moment, it's built to last. Keep the focus, keep the drive. No slow motion, I'm alive. Power surging, can't deny. I'm unstoppable, touch the sky. Level up, yeah, this is the vibe. Feel the rush.
Hello everyone, it's Rebecca Whitman. Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. We are taking you from burned out, drained, exhausted, and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. We are so excited you're listening to the show. We have lots of good tips for you today on how to nail the sale with sales trainer and speaker Nicole Kramer. Welcome to the show, Nicole.
Thank you, Rebecca. I'm excited to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. We were both featured speakers on a summit, and I just really love what you had to say. And I was like, I've got to get to know you better. And we had a great virtual coffee, and I'm excited to share your wealth of wisdom about sales with my audience. So just so happy to continue the conversation we started last week. And that's the great thing about just being a yes and being magnetic, because I didn't even know I was going to meet you 2 weeks ago. And now here we are in a podcast and TV show and radio show. So this is this has a wide reach. This this podcast is being a syndicated radio show. And we're just so excited to, it just happened this week. So this is next level. Yeah, thanks to all of you guys who have been with me since the beginning of the journey. We are on the radio, on TV, on the Everyday Women's Network, and here we go. So let me tell you about Nicole's background. Nicole is a distinguished sales conversation coach, keynote speaker, and corporate sales trainer. She transforms sales through human connection and strategic language. A former number one sales exec for a Fortune 500 company, she now channels her expertise into coaching. Her approach focuses on the integrity and the art of conversation and enhances clients' closing rate. She helps clients learn how to build lasting relationships. I like to say we don't close a sale, we open a relationship. So it's so great that you're teaching that. And she hosts a popular podcast and YouTube channel. So I was just fascinated when we talked last week about your story. Tell us how you ended up becoming a number one sales exec and then a sales trainer. Did you always think you were going to go into sales?
That's an interesting question. I had no idea I even wanted to do sales. I don't even think it ever crossed my mind for a long time growing up. I don't know that many people do. I don't think people come out of the womb and go, I want to grow up and be a salesperson. I also think that the perception that we attribute to salespeople in our society isn't exactly friendly or, you know, conducive to people wanting to do it. So I think when people think salespeople, they have a perception that makes them maybe want to stay away from it. And to be honest, that was kind of mine. The last thing I ever wanted to do was go into sales and be a salesy person. So it was interesting that I did find myself in that world. Like a lot of people, like you and I, we've chatted over this, Rebecca. I did not have a straight line. It was not a straight path to get there. And I'm sure it won't be moving forward either. But I was a high school teacher for 15 years. And I always like sharing that because I know a lot of people that do the work that you and I do didn't necessarily come from a background where they wanted to do sales or had ever done sales. So after 15 years.
Not just any high school teacher, you guys, she taught, and if you're Generation X, this means a lot, at Beverly Hills High, which is what the show 90210 was based on.
Yep. I taught at the Beverly Hills High School, which, you know, could have like literally been a show of its own. And after 15 years, there was an itch that just was begging to be scratched. And it was the competitive person in me that really felt like I wanted to challenge myself. And as great as teaching was, and as much as I enjoyed what I did for those 15 years, it was time for me to do something and really just, I guess, stoke that fire inside of me that wanted to chase the carrot. And I had some friends that were in sales. They talked about it like it was a game. I had a boyfriend who was number one in the nation in his company. So it sounded really exciting to me. And I thought, I want to try sales. But without any experience, how could I ever get a job? So my limiting beliefs started right away, right? I've taught for too long. I've been in this career for too long. I don't have any experience. I had all the limiting beliefs. And a friend of mine said, hey, I think you'd be really good at this. Would you go on an interview with my boss? I was like, you think I'd be good at sales? He's like, yeah, have you ever thought about it? And I'm like, yeah, all the time in my head. And so he set me up with his boss on an interview. I walked in with my resume that just said teacher. Here I am holding this resume. It's like teacher, teacher, teacher. And I was worried he would tell me that I didn't have experience. And at the end of the interview, that's exactly what he told me. He said, you know, you knocked this out of the park. Like, I'm pleasantly surprised. However, I'm going to have a hard time hiring you over the 89 internal people who want this position. You've never sold anything. Your resume just says teacher. And it was like a shot to the heart because that was so, you know, what I was afraid he would say. And I gathered my thoughts for a minute and I said, well, I've been selling math to high school teenagers for 15 years and nobody wanted to buy that. And he goes, that's good. Actually, that's really good. Will you go on a ride along with one of my guys? I said, sure. He said, will you do a 30, 60, 90 day business plan? I said, absolutely. So I walk out of that interview. I call my friend. I'm like, what is a 30, 60, 90 day business plan? Like, what, you know? And he laughed and he said he really liked you, you know, whatever. And I tell that part of the story because in that moment, it got me onto the next round. What it has taught me and never left me was that sales is relational. It's not a transaction. For me to recognize in that moment when he said that to me that I was selling math, not because those students were coming in with credit. Trust me, they had the credit cards to pay me, but they were not trying to pay me for math, right? So how do we actually get people to make decisions to do things that maybe they're hesitant around or not sure around? Well, that's what sales is. It's helping people make up their minds. Mm. And that's not about a transaction. Like you said, it's not opening. How did you say it? It was so perfect.
It's not about closing a sale. It's about opening a relationship.
Okay. That's it. And that's really what we're doing, right? And people are now buyers, they're soon buyers, or they're later buyers. They fall into different categories. That's not in our control. What is in our control is how we show up to the relationship, how we communicate, how we conduct ourselves, how we show the other person that we care so that when it is time for that person to buy, we are front of mind.
Beautiful. So what are some of the common mistakes that people make in sales conversations and how can we correct those?
I'll use an analogy. Too many people try to get married on the first date.
Oh, yes.
So quite often the exact thing that we fear, because I can't think of many people that wouldn't hold up their hand when I said, who doesn't want to be salesy? Like if I could see everyone who's listening right now and I said, who doesn't want to be salesy? Everybody would raise their hand. We don't want to be salesy. But quite often in conversations, we come across as salesy because we're really just focused on our agenda or what we are trying to do in the conversation. And so I would say the mistake that most people make is they're not slowing things down. Like have appetizers before you decide that you want to get married, right? Like let's slow it down. Let's actually get to know the other person and find out, is this a kind of person that you would want to marry? And I think in business, we forget that we also have the power of choice in who our customers are. We're not auditioning. We're not begging for business. And if so, then there are some other things that you might want to evaluate and consider about how you're approaching things. You get to choose your customers just as much as they're choosing you. It has to be a right fit for both. So I would say that's probably the biggest thing is how can we approach conversations where we're not trying to be interesting? We're not trying to sell our value. We're not trying to audition and hope they pay us, but we're showing up to be interested instead of interesting. We're interviewing and connecting versus auditioning. And we're ultimately finding out, is this something that can really benefit the person? Because if we slow things down, quite often we gather context, not just that we need to hear, but that they need to hear so that we can decide together, is this something that makes sense for you that could really help you? And is it something that fits on both ends?
That is so good. Well, I'm going to tell you a funny story. Believe it or not, I sold Ford cars in Jacksonville, Florida. And that is a long departure from, you know, Princeton University selling Fords in Florida. And they used to do this trick where they would literally, the person would not be able to leave because they would say, oh, I lost the keys to your trade-in. We can't find it anywhere. They would throw the keys on the roof. But what that did was they had to stay in the conversation with the salesperson until it bought them more time to not convince, but to learn what it would take to sell the person. Now that is not what I'm recommending or you're recommending is, you know, manipulating someone into staying in the conversation. But what can we do to actually make them want to stay in the conversation? If somebody's like, I got to go, I get off the phone, I have another meeting, they're trying to cut it short, this isn't for me. Like, instead of throwing the keys on the roof, you're such an amazing trainer. What would be one of your techniques to keep them in a conversation?
It's interesting that that's the story you tell, because I have something similar when I went to buy a car, and I was so convinced that the guy who was selling me the car had faked that his father had had a heart attack. I felt guilty even thinking that, but literally I was sitting there and we were kind of going back and we were at the desk. He had already shown me all the finance stuff, right? And I was just having some questions, objections, whatever you want to call it. And the other guy came in, he's like, hey, you got to go right away. The hospital called, blah, 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 blah. And it delayed the whole thing. And in my mind, I felt guilty thinking it, but in my mind, I was like, was that real?
Wow.
Or is that just a tactic? And that's why sales reps get a bad name. There are people, to each his own, everybody's going to do things the way that they want to do them, right? If you want to manipulate, you've got to live with yourself with the fact that you are a manipulative person. However, there's only a slight difference between manipulation and influence. And
ooh, that's the tweetable, you guys. Write that down. There's only a slight difference between manipulation and influence. Yes.
And what we want to do is help someone make a buying decision so that it feels like their choice. We want permission. You asked how we stay in the conversation. We want permission to be in the conversation. We want someone there on their own free will. And one of the best ways to do that, I said it earlier, is to act interested, not interesting. Right? Because when we're just trying to be the advice monster or say all the things that we think might sound valuable to the person, they feel like they're being talked at, because they are. But when you act interested, what happens when someone is interested in you? It feels good.
Yeah.
Your energy shifts a little bit. You like being around them. They ask you questions. Everybody likes talking about themselves. So how do you get permission to stay in conversations? You genuinely show up curious. You genuinely show up willing to slow things down. Have the appetizers, if you will. Don't be so quick to get married on the first date. You might not even want to marry them. And you don't know until you take the time to really understand. And I think the important thing, though, too, is that we always want to leave people better off than when we found them. So every conversation, we should be seeking to help someone at least take some steps in a direction that they want to go. Again, there's three categories. There's now buyers, soon buyers, and later buyers. They might be a later buyer, but can we, in that conversation, maybe shift their perspective a little bit more? Move them in a direction that's going to help them move towards the actual thing that they want to do, even if they're not in a position right now to make a decision about it. And when we understand that trust isn't built overnight, it's built over time, then we understand that when we slow things down and we focus on the relationship, those later buyers turn into soon buyers a lot sooner. They turn into now buyers a lot sooner because they feel cared about. They feel heard. They feel seen. They feel understood. And in a world where we have technology and automation and bots out the wazoo, what people want more than anything is connection. So I think one of the best ways to get permission to be in conversations is to actually care about the people that you're in the conversation with and make them feel important. And, you know, I'll tell this quick story. So Aramark was the company that I worked at that, when I did leave teaching, that's who hired me. We sold coffee. And, you know, the way the universe works, it was pretty cool. About 2 months before I got offered the job, I had started drinking coffee for the first time in my life. So I follow the breadcrumbs. I trust.
You manifested it. Now, I thought Aramark sold uniforms.
They have a couple different divisions. One of them is uniforms. Oh. The one that I was in was coffee and refreshments for workplaces. Okay.
All right.
So if you can imagine like what Google's break room looks like, that's what we went in and did for companies. We just tricked out their break room. It was really cool. So again, 2 months before I got offered the job, I started drinking coffee for the first time in my life. It's a really incredible story. But again, we trust the breadcrumbs, right? I knew that that was meant for me. And shortly after I became number one at Aramark, the number one salesperson, somebody came to me and they were like, you must know everything about coffee. And I was like, I know what I like. I like oat milk vanilla lattes, but no, I don't. I would never say I'm a coffee connoisseur. As a matter of fact, I don't know much about it. And they were like, then how did you become the number one sales rep if you don't know everything about coffee? I said, because I focused on the people that I was looking to work with. I got to know them. I didn't think knowing coffee was going to be the way that I was going to be successful. I thought knowing the people and helping them feel important and helping them know that I cared about them. And it seems too fluffy and easy a lot of times, but that's really what it's all about. And it's easy to forget in a world where activity and action and hustle and grind is conditioned. That's how we're conditioned. That's what is the message that we constantly hear. And slowing things down and genuinely caring about someone and making them feel important is actually one of the best ways to build that know, like, and trust factor. And that turns into opportunities.
How clean is the water you're drinking and bathing in? If you call Aquasana Water today, they'll provide you with a free assessment telling you the condition of your tap water. Aquasana sells whole house water filters starting at $1,000. Isn't that worth it to have a 10-year supply of filtered, cleaner water? Aquasana water filters tackle chlorine taste and odor and can reduce contaminants like viruses, lead, forever chemicals, and microplastics, depending on the system you purchased. So make the free call, find out the condition of your water, and make your water cleaner the Aquasana way. It's a smart decision for you and your family and a must for a healthy home. Get a whole house Aquasana water system starting at $1,000 for your entire home. Call and find out the condition of your water with a free water assessment. 800-925-6029. 800-925-6029. 800-925-6029. That's 800-925-6029.
Everything is expensive right now. Gas, food, you name it. You're spending more, you are making the same or less money. So, what do? You rack up credit card debt, that's what you do. It's not your fault, it's the economy. And guess what? If you rack up too much credit card debt like some of us, you can't pay your bills. Then the credit card companies, as nice as they are, start hounding you for money. Then you start your downward spiral. A smart thing for you to do is to call the Zero Debt. They can help you consolidate all your credit card bills into one affordable payment. Millions of people have done it. It works to make you debt-free. Make this free call right now. It costs you nothing to learn more.
800-628-5675. 800-628-5675. 800-628-5675. That's 800-628-5675.
Hey there, gorgeous. Quick question. Do you want to look younger, feel stronger, and glow like the star that you are? Of course you do, honey. So here's the deal. Your body wants to age gracefully, but stress, sugar, and time are not on your side. Enter the game changer you didn't know you needed, liquid collagen. This isn't your average powdery chalky mess. Oh no, honey, this is next level science. Our liquid collagen has a 93% bioavailability rate. Powdered collagen is 30% at best. This means your hair, skin, nails, joints get the VIP treatment. If you want to reduce wrinkles, feel amazing in your body, and turn heads, this is your glow up in a bottle. Don't wait. Your future self is literally begging for this. Click the link in the show notes to grab your bottle today. But hurry, supplies are limited and this kind of fabulous will not last forever. You deserve this. Now go shine like the balanced, beautiful, and abundant star that you are. And people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
That's it.
And I think that's what people really want, is a genuine connection, which brings me to your point of, how does being authentic build stronger client relationships and create more sales and repeat buyers?
Well, I think that is one of the most refreshing things that we can be, not just for ourselves, but those that we're looking to connect with. Like, being authentic, being real, being transparent, like, that's what people are craving. Somebody that's going to throw my keys on the roof, whether I know that that's what they actually did or not, like... Yeah. It's, and again, it's like, well, who is that about? That's about them and their agenda and what they want.
Yes.
And here's why people do things. Here's a big secret. Okay. I want everyone to write this down. Here is the only reason why people do things. For their reasons. People will do things for their reasons. And if you are looking to help someone make a decision, you better slow it down and find out what their reasons are. Because if you're making it about your agenda, then you're making it about what you want. And you're asking someone to take action based on what you want. It can still be based on what you want, but the art of a sales conversation, if you are a professional and you know how to communicate, you're able to take what you want and help the other person realize it's their idea. Let's go back to the kids that sat in my classroom. What did I want? I wanted kids to get through my class so that they could pass and get through high school. They didn't want to do their homework. They didn't want to do math. They just wanted the diploma. So how did I engage and help them feel like it's what they wanted to do? Because they still had to do the homework. They still had to show up and do the math, right? Rapport, trust, making it enjoyable, making it somewhere that they wanted to show up to. Your sales conversations are the same thing. Make it something that people want to show up for because they feel cared about. They don't feel like you're going to push them into making a decision. They feel like you're going to guide them into making the decision that's best for them. I think what we are as salespeople is just professional mind maker uppers. Oh, bless you.
I muted it so we didn't have to deal with it in post, but it's all good. I love that. So what are some questions that we can ask to get people's vision? Because if we know what somebody really wants, their dream, their vision, their goal, we can see if our product or service is a good match for delivering that. So do you have any good questions that would open that part of the conversation up?
Yep. So you asked me earlier what a lot of people do wrong in conversations. And I gave you a couple of different things that, you know, like getting married on the first date, they're trying to move it too fast. Well, they also aren't really showing up inquiring about why the other person is in the conversation. Mm-hmm. Nobody woke up one morning and said, you know, I don't have anything better to do. What kind of calls can I put on my calendar for the day? Nobody woke up and said, let me sign up for that free strategy call with Jennifer and just, you know, for shits and gigs. Nobody's booking time with you because they don't have anything better to do. The most expensive thing that anyone can pay you with is their time and attention. So if someone has given you their time and attention on a Zoom call, on a phone call, in an email, in a text, if they are giving you their time and attention and they are giving you permission to be in the conversation, then you sure as heck better figure out why they're there, not just why you're there. Are you there to try to make a sale? And have you bothered to ask why they are? Because what a lot of people don't realize is you can figure out in the first couple of minutes of a conversation if somebody is there to make a decision or not. You can have a pretty good idea of why somebody's there if you ask. But so many people show up and they make it all about themselves. They're like, oh my God, I've got to be ready. I've got to say the right thing. I want to turn this into a sale. How am I going to land the plane? How am I going to close the deal? How am I going to sell my value? I need to sell my value. You know what your value is? You don't know until you ask. Let's go back to the car thing. If I walk into a car dealership right now and some car dealer or a car salesman is trying to sell me on a freaking V8 engine, or I don't even know what engines are called. Miss Ford from Florida, you could tell me. I don't know what an engine like label would be that I would want or care about. So if you're trying to sell me on something that you think would be important to me, you're probably going to miss the sale. And until you ask, you might not know that I care about seat warmers, that I care about a good audio system, that I care about the way the car looks, the color, right? And so quite often we've determined in our heads what we think is valuable and we show up to a call and we're not asking questions. We're trying to sell our value. We're doing all the talking. And then by the end of the conversation, we're trying to figure out how to land the plane. We have no idea if the person actually wants to make a decision. We have no idea if it's even felt or sounded valuable to them. We might ask questions like, how does this sound to you? Sounds great. Do you know why they were there? Do you know why they were listening? So one of the questions that I strongly suggest that everybody ask at the beginning of your conversation, what will make this conversation a success for you?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Find that out at the very beginning. They might tell you, well, I'm just here to find out some more information about what you do. You know what? At that point, you're like, great. What information would you be interested in hearing? Now you're in a different conversation. You're not there trying to sell them something. You're there to connect. You're there to help them learn and understand, because they just said, I'm here to learn and understand more about what you do. If they say, I'm here to decide if your new offer is right for me and I just have a couple questions to ask, great. What questions can I answer that'll get you closer to being in a position to make a decision? You get what you need to hear in that moment so that you can take the conversation in a way that serves both of you. And what we want to keep in mind is leaving people better off than they were when we started the conversation. Your job is not to get somebody all the way to a yes. Your job is to get them further to a point of clarity. And if that is a position that they're in to make a decision around today, then help them make that decision. But when we leave people in maybe land, we didn't actually do them any good by leaving them better off than they were when we started the conversation. And sometimes getting them to a point of clarity means they've realized it's not the right offer for them. Because people are like, yeah, but what if they say no? A no is a gift. Would you rather have that person hide in maybe land for a couple more months so that you're spending more time and energy on thinking that they maybe would buy, but you're not sure because you never actually found out why they were there and what was important to them? You just made it about you trying to make a sale. And as long as you didn't hear no, it meant maybe there's a chance. Why don't we get that definitive decision so that we know where to put our time and energy?
I love getting no's. I would much rather get a no than be ghosted or let on or, oh, can I get back to you later? And, you know, I like to say that I'm a decision collector.
Yeah.
And that be detached from the no's, you know, NATO, not attached to outcome. And I like what you were just saying about, it's really about educating people and giving them enough information for them to make their own comfortable decision.
Yep. That's it. And you can influence that decision by here's the thing, when you get really good at communicating at a high level, you're not there to give information. You're there to ask questions to help someone arrive at their own decision. So you can still influence what their decision is going to be by asking them the right questions.
Yeah.
And there's no perfect set of questions that's going to work for everybody, because we are not computers. We are not robots. We are humans. So it takes emotional intelligence. It takes a commitment to practice, professionals practice. And when you practice communicating at a level that allows others to feel connected to you and make better decisions, then you're more efficient and effective in helping people.
That's beautiful. Let's talk about the importance of following up. I have heard that people need between 7 and 8 or maybe even more touches or connections with the salesperson to make a comfortable decision. Do you have any good verbiage or techniques or software or any good pointers about the art of following up?
The fortune is in the follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very, very small percentage of people that are going to be in a position to buy the first time that they've ever connected with you. They deserve to have a lot more nurturing, and so do you. I don't know about everyone listening, but I would imagine that a majority of them have had this experience. We've all had a customer that we didn't want, or a customer that maybe we had to fire. And if we'd just done a little bit more nurturing, connecting, if they'd had a little bit better understanding of what they were entering into, that maybe wouldn't have gotten to that point. So part of the follow-up is also about nurturing and building the rapport with that person, allowing them the opportunity to see more of who you are. And I think it used to be 7 to 8 touch points. I would argue it probably takes dozens in this day and age with the level of automation that we have, the amount of, I mean, we live in a noisy world. We live in the information world.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime that you pick this little thing up, there's a bunch of things screaming at you and talking at you. So I think it's only fair to expect that. We also live in a very transparent world. Like in the 1980s, if you wanted to be salesy and pushy, nobody knew about it because there was nowhere to go on social media and blast it and be like, oh, this person threw my keys on the roof and I didn't know it. And that's what made me stay in the conversation, right?
Right.
There was no way to actually reveal that in a big way like this. And so for decades and decades and decades, people did sell in a way that was, you know, pushy.
Yeah.
Salesy, because they could get away with it. And now there's so much visibility and transparency. Consumers, they're not stupid. They want to be cared about. They want to be understood. They want to be seen and heard. There's this button that exists inside of everybody's head. It's called the show me that you know me button. And everybody wants it to be hit. Like, oh, you get me? You know me? You understand me? And when we can help someone feel like we truly get them and know them and understand them, their decision to buy is so easy or easier because we help them have that feeling and we nurtured it. So the follow-up is not just about how many times do I pick up the phone and call them again and again and again. I do kind of think that we are snooze alarms, to be honest. I do think that we are the, hey, is it time yet? Hey, is it time yet? But the last thing we want to do is actually say, hey, is it time yet? What we want to do is actually be of value every single time we're connecting with people. And that takes strategy. That takes work before the work. That takes non-lazy communication. Hey, how are you? Hey, I'm just following up. Hey, I'm just circling back. Hey, I'm just touching base. Nobody wants their base touched. Nobody wants to be circled back. Nobody wants to be followed up. All you're saying is, hey, are you ready to give me your business or not? How can you actually do the work before the work and show up to conversations where you're actually being of value, even if it's not time for them to buy? And again, that take, you know, the worst time to think about what you're going to say is the moment you're going to say it. And so we've got to put the work before the work in and decide, like, where are these people in my world? Where are they in my ecosystem? How can I follow up with value? How can I not just touch their base, but actually make them want to continue to be in a conversation with me? That's really the name of the game. It's how do I stay in the game? How do I keep this conversation going? How do I still be of value to this person so that when it is time for them to buy, they already know who they want to do it with? And I don't know about you, Rebecca, but I've got people right now in my mind that I know I will be buying from. I already know what some of my next purchases will be. It's not today, and it's not even next month. Some of them I've set like a longer term goal for, but I already know I'm going to buy from them. And every single person that is listening to this right now has people in that same position in their world. They already know that they want to buy from you. And you're trying so hard to get married on the first date that you're making people feel pressured. You're making them feel like, well, that doesn't feel good. That doesn't feel right. So you're creating friction and actually slowing down the process without realizing it. Where if we slow it down and we make it about the nurturing and the follow-up, how can you be of value to people consistently over time so that when they are ready for the thing that you do, they know that they want to do it with you?
People ask all the time, who the heck is low-cost airlines? Well, we're not just one airline. When you're talking to us, you're talking to everyone. We are the discount supermarket for all airline tickets. Plus, we have all the airlines and always have the best prices. American, Delta, United, plus all the specialized international airlines and a lot more. And we make it easy. We guarantee you'll talk to a live human in 60 seconds. You can have the rates you need and have your trip booked in 5 minutes. Now, how cool is that? And remember, when you're talking to us, it's like talking to every single airline available with one fast phone call. All you need to do is call and find the best prices to fly wherever it is you want to go. So are you ready? Call Low Cost Airlines right now. 800-451-8603. 800-451-8603. 800-451-8603. That's 800-451-8603.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-590-1163. 800-590-1163. 800-590-1163. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish. 800-590-1163.
There are three types of people listening to this. The first type reached for their goals and failed. The second type achieved their goals and they were not fulfilled. They wanted more. And the third type achieved their goals at the expense of their health and happiness. Well, I have great news. I am inviting you to enjoy a mindset manifestation mastermind with me at the luxurious Palmaya and Aya Spa in Playa del Carmen, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, white sandy beaches, and you at one of the most luxurious resorts in Mexico, unlocking the life you've been dreaming of. From January 23rd to 26th at the breathtaking five-star Palmaya and Aya Resort and Spa in Playa del Carmen, Mexico, I am hosting my Manifestation Mindset Retreat. It will be your chance to reset, realign, and manifest your most balanced, beautiful, and abundant life. Imagine mornings filled with transformational workshops, afternoons indulging in spa treatments and lounging by the pool, and evenings connecting with like-minded women under the stars. This isn't just a retreat. It's a total mindset makeover in paradise. You'll leave with the tools to manifest more love, success, and abundance than you ever thought possible. Spots are limited. This life-changing experience will sell out. Go to the link in show notes to reserve your spot today. So what are some ideas on how to follow up and not just be like, hey girl, how are you? Did you make a decision? Like, what are some great ways to share value?
Well, if somebody said that they were going to make a decision about something and you left a call where they said, hey, I'm planning on making a decision about this. First of all, we don't want to get better at following up. We want to get better at the last 5 minutes of our last conversation. Mm-hmm. You're like, how many times do I follow up? I'm like, quit chasing. When was your agreed upon point of next contact? They were like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, when did that person tell you that you would next connect again? Or when did you gain permission to connect again next? Well, they just said that they'd think about it and get back to me. No wonder you're chasing. There was no agreed upon next step. We cannot be the weak leader in that moment. We need to lead on the conversation. And quite often, we're so desperate to audition, we're so desperate to make the sale that we don't end up leading the conversation. We end up kind of being like, okay, no problem, get back to me. Oh, you want to talk to your partner? Okay, no big deal, just let me know. You didn't lead that conversation. You showed up with a hope, a wish, and a prayer that it was going to go in a way that would give you a sale. You didn't show up as a leader. You didn't show up staying curious, asking questions. The person in control of the conversation is the person asking the questions. Were you asking the questions? Were you guiding that person? Or did you give them all the power by being so, what did you call it? NATO? You weren't, yes. you were attached to the outcome.
Attached to the outcome. That would be ego.
Yeah. And that's really one of the biggest things. Are you so attached to the outcome that you're not actually showing up as the leader on that call? And if somebody's like, hey, I need some time to think about it. Great. How much time will be enough?
Good question.
Well, I think maybe 3 days. Great. 3 days from now will be Sunday. So why don't we say maybe Monday? Would that work for us to follow up? Yeah. Great. What time on Monday? Morning or afternoon? Afternoon. Okay. How's 2 p.m. your time? 2 p.m. works great. Great. Monday at 2 p.m. Ring, ring, ring. Hey, it's Nicole. Just calling as promised. You agreed that Monday at 2 p.m. was when you would connect again. And you can say, I'm guessing you haven't gotten around to making a decision yet. That gives them all the space in the world to be like, no, you're right. I didn't get around to it yet. I need some more. The weekend was busy. I need some more time to think about it. Great. What do you feel will be different if you take some more time to think about it this time? Or great, how much longer do you feel you would need to think about this? Or I'm curious, how important is it to you to actually take next steps? Or do you feel like putting this off for a while might be a better solution for you? There's a lot of different things you can say in that moment. Mm-hmm. But people are like, yeah, but what if I call on Monday at 2 and they don't answer? Leave a message. Hey, just calling as promised at 2 p.m. like we agreed. Seems like something must have come up. If I don't hear from you, I will call you Wednesday at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I'll call you Wednesday at 10 a.m. unless I hear from you that that's not a good time.
Very good. And if they don't
call back, you've just gained permission to call Wednesday at 10. If you call Wednesday at 10 and they don't answer again, guess what? Let's read the writing on the wall. Do you want to keep chasing or do you want to maybe make one more call a few days later? Hey, I know we were meant to connect last week. It seems like this is something that maybe, you know, has taken a back seat. No worries. You might be busy around this time of year. Would it help if we followed up maybe early on in the new year?
That's a good phrase too. Would it help if?
Because what you're doing, everybody loves to be helpful, right? And you're putting the ball in their court, but you're still guiding the conversation because you asked the question, would it help if we put this off until earlier in the new year or later in the new year? And what you're doing is you're still in control of the conversation because you're asking the questions.
Love it. Now, is would it help with from the book, which you are a certified coach on exactly what to say?
That is one of our magic phrases. We have 32 of them. I've used a lot of them. If you're any at all familiar with the Exactly What to Say work, you've probably heard me use many of them in our conversation. And that's really the goal, right? When we're learning a new language, because that's really what this is, it's how do we become fluent in it? How do we practice? Professionals practice, right? We show up. There's no, a lot of times when I get interviewed on things like that, they're like, what's the thing you say to close the deal? I'm like, girlfriend, I would sell that for billions of dollars and go call today if that was an actual thing, you know, like that. And there's no tit for tat. There's no, when somebody says this, you say this, matchy, matchy. Now we're back to throwing our keys on the roof. Really? You're looking for some phrase that like automatically makes people like drop everything and go, you're right. Here's all my business. We're humans. You need to show up with emotional intelligence. There's not one perfect phrase that's just going to do all the work for you. Because again, if that existed, people would be selling it. What it is it's about doing the work before the work on our end so that we know how to communicate, that we know what good questions to ask to help someone move into positions to make decisions. And when we show up prepared and we've done the work before the work, then what we're actually doing is not manipulating a conversation, we're influencing it, and we're able to be present in the conversation and actually listen and guide it. Because we're not sitting there going, oh, what do I say next? What do I say next? What do I say next? Oh my gosh, what if she says it's too expensive? What if she says she needs to talk to her partner? Oh God, I forgot how to land the plane. What did my coach tell me? I think there's one thing that I'm supposed to say right here. Well, who are you making that about?
Right.
You just showed up to a conversation that you're not even present for. You're so worried about how to land the damn plane. You're so worried about trying to get married on the first date that you haven't even bothered to listen to the other person. And energetically, they can tell. Energetically, they know it. Whether it's actually communicated through words, people can feel that. Mm-hmm. But if you get really good at communicating and you can show up confident and competent and you know how to guide conversations through being the person that asks the questions that helps somebody arrive at their answers, then you can show up as that leader in conversations because that's what people are looking for. Confidence sells. Sales is leadership. And if somebody has come to you with some level of need or problem, because that's what business is, somebody has a need, somebody has a solution, that's all we're ever doing. They've got some need, they've got some kind of problem, or they wouldn't be giving you their time. If you show up to that conversation and you're willing to uncover that need and find out what's going on for them, then what you're actually doing is truly being of service. And you're finding out, hey, this person has a need. They have some kind of problem. I'm potentially somebody that could help them with it. Let's find out if it feels like the right fit for both of us. And you're going to lead them in the conversation and help them get to a place of, yes, this is right, or no, it's not. And like you said, a no is a gift.
Yeah. And people are buying certainty.
Yeah.
Whoever has the most certainty is usually the one who's going to, you know, win the sale.
Well, yes, and where do we get the certainty from? That makes
all the difference. Knowing that, you know, your product is a good fit for their problem.
But how do we know that? And that is where people go wrong. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can't show up certain to a conversation.
You can't, yeah.
When we get to certainty, here's the magic. You want to know the magic in every conversation? Curiosity.
Yes.
Curiosity leads to certainty. But if you show up, like I had a client a couple of years ago, I used to work primarily with health coaches, and she came to me, she was like, oh my gosh, I met this guy at this event and he needs me. Oh my God, he's like severely overweight. I said, does he think he needs you? She goes, well, I know I can help him. I said, does he think you can help him? She goes, well, he should. I mean, he clearly needs help. I said, how do you know he's not okay with binge watching Netflix every night and eating a bag of Doritos? He might be totally fine. She goes, but he could feel better. I said, he needs to know that. He needs to feel that way. He needs to believe that. People don't want to be sold to, but they want to buy. And not everybody's meant to work with you and you're not meant to help everybody. The good news is there's 8 billion people on this planet. So you got to stop trying to look at people and go, you need me, you need me, you need me. It's about come with me, not look at me. You don't have anybody's answer.
Did you hear that? That's another tweetable. It's about come with me, not go with me.
Come with me, not look at me.
Oh, come with me, not look at me. That really speaks to social media, where everybody's trying to sell everything on social media.
Well, but that's a level of that is visibility. I'm not mad about people getting visible on social media and being like, hey, here's how I can help you. Here's what I can do. Like, people can't buy what they don't know is for sale. So visibility, yes. But acting like we are someone's answer, you're not anybody's answer. Everybody's answers are within them.
Mm-hmm.
But when you truly understand how to communicate at a level that allows people to arrive at their own answers, now you're helping people make buying decisions. And I'm not just talking buying as in transactional business decisions. You want someone to understand and believe what's possible for them. That's what they're actually buying. They're not buying your stuff. They don't want your 12 Zoom sessions. They don't want your collagen. They don't want a house. They don't want any of those things. Nobody wants to buy a home. Nobody wants to sell a home. Nobody wants to buy collagen. Nobody wants to do lunges. Nobody wants 12 Zoom sessions. They don't want any of that shit. They want it because.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to slow it down with curiosity and find out what that because is, because that's why people are going to make their reasons or their decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to sell people something. And so, you know, the visibility piece, cool, yes. But this idea like, look at me, you need me. Nobody needs anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately what we want is to help someone realize that whatever problem it is that they're dealing with is a problem worth them giving their attention to right now. And if it's not, then we'll help them realize that it's not, that they're okay. You know, one of the questions I love asking people is like, hey, does it feel okay staying where you are?
Mm.
Or does it feel like you are ready to do something about this? I'm curious, could it be possible that staying where you are is a better choice for you right now?
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'm curious, could it be possible that this isn't something that feels like you're ready to make a priority at this time?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want you to tell me, I want you to be clear on where this stands for you. I am not trying to sell ice to a polar bear.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to sell a TV to a blind man. And nobody else should be either, because that's about you.
Mm-hmm.
Are we selling things to people because it actually will benefit them? And that it's actually something, if people want to just buy a better version of themselves, that's what they're looking to do, right? They want the outcome of the thing. And mm-hmm. when we're so busy trying to be the answer, it kind of makes it seem like they need us, or that we're so certain that we're their answer, versus seeing the best in them and helping them make a decision that they know is best for them.
Well, speaking of objections, how do we turn objections into opportunities to close more sales?
So, first of all, I think redefining what objections are in our own mind is the most important thing we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Because initially everybody hears the word objection and they think it's got a stigma, right? It's like, it's a bad thing. But like, an objection is a buying signal.
Mm.
If somebody really didn't want what you have, they would not be asking questions around it. If they had 100% gotten to a no, this is not for me, they wouldn't ask you questions. And I'll give you a quick example. Rebecca, if right now you were like, hey, Nicole, I'm going to stab you in the eye with a fork. You know what I wouldn't say, Rebecca? I wouldn't say, gosh, do you think it's going to hurt? I don't know if my insurance would cover that. I don't know what my deductible is right now. And you know, I'm not even sure I have the time to go to the hospital today. It's probably like just, I have so much on my plate right now. Like, do you think it would bleed a lot? You know what? Let me go check with my husband and see if he's okay with me being stabbed in the eye with a fork. Like, and I know that this is a ridiculous example, but the reason I use it is I am so crystal clear. I don't want to be, it's not for me. It's not for me. I wouldn't ask any questions around it. So when people are asking questions, what they're actually saying is, there's still a chance. I just need to know more. I need to learn more. I need to understand more. And you're the leader on the call, so your job is to hear it for what it is and recognize that an objection is a good sign. Or here's another one. It's not an objection, but when people get asked, well, how much does it cost? people all the time are like, what do I do when somebody says, how much does it cost? I'm like, that's a beautiful question. I've never walked into a store before and picked up a shirt that I don't like and asked how much it cost. I've never walked into a car dealership before and looked at the ugliest, worst car there that I did not like at all and asked how much that car was. People aren't asking about how much something costs for something that they don't want.
Mm-hmm.
We have to retrain our own brain. What's actually going on in those moments where somebody hands us an objection or asks us a question that's like, And one of my best tips for anybody with objections is ask more questions. So if somebody says, wow, I'm not sure about this. I want to think it over for a little while. Oh, I'm curious. What makes you say that? Gosh, I don't know. It feels like this is really expensive. Yeah, I could see where like putting something new in your budget might feel a little uncomfortable at first. I'm curious, some of the things that you described to me earlier about the challenges you're having seem also a little uncomfortable. To feel more uncomfortable for you right now. Because listen, if you're okay with staying where you are, then I think you should stay where you are. I don't think you should invest anything to do something about this. If staying where you are feels okay, like I think that that's probably the right move for you right now. But if you're really feeling stuck and like this isn't where you want to be anymore, what do you think it would take for you to get uncomfortable in a new way and invest in some support? I want someone to make the decision to continue to step towards me. Again, it's come with me. If this feels right for you, let's take another step. Let's take another step. That's the follow-up that you asked me about before. The follow-up isn't chasing. The follow-up isn't, I don't know. The follow-up is let's nurture. Let's get to know each other a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're inviting somebody to take a step and take another step and take another step, those are buying signals. Those are what I call micro commitments.
Mm.
And your yes that you get from someone is actually the compounded yes of a bunch of micro commitments. Somebody showing up for your, people are like, oh, people just come to my live things all the time and they're free and then they don't like, you know, take the next step with me. If somebody showed up for one of your live trainings that you offered for free and they gave you their time and attention, that's a micro commitment.
Mm-hmm.
You have to trust that. And the next step and the next step and the next step, like one of my biggest sales that I ever made with a private client, she showed up to my free stuff for a year and a half, year and a half, didn't make any move towards saying yes. One time we had a call and she was like, oh, I would love to work with you someday. But there was no like level of, you know, I'm making this happen. I'm making a plan for it. After a year and a half of coming to all my things, she said, okay, it's time. She signed up for a call and she paid me a lot of money, tens of thousands of dollars after a year and a half of nothing. So I think when we realize that these are all micro commitments. Now, if somebody has shown up for all your stuff, here's the thing. If people are showing up for all your stuff and they're liking a lot of your stuff or they're engaging in your stuff on social media, then get in a conversation with them.
Yeah, that's a lead. If somebody's commenting and liking on your stuff, that's a lead. That's someone you should be in a conversation with. I agree.
Yeah. It's like, if they're showing up for all of your masterclasses that you're offering for free, then have you, like I had a client tell me this not too long ago. She was like, I've been doing monthly masterclasses for a while and somebody always shows up and she hasn't clicked the link to buy. I said, have you ever asked her? She was asked her what? I said, anything. Have you ever gotten to the DMs and had a conversation with her? And she said, well, I just feel like she keeps showing up. So I'm just not sure what I would say.
Yeah.
People buy from people. They don't buy from a sales page. They don't buy from a link. They don't buy from a masterclass. At the end of the day, people buy from people. You know why? You know how everybody makes a decision? Every single person who makes any decision in their life makes it twice. First in their heart and then in their mind. First with emotion.
Yes.
And then with logic. Twice. So the first time they actually make it, it's because that's what they really want to do. And then they try to justify with reason and logic and everything else. So ultimately, we have to remember that people want to make decisions, and it's our job to show up and help them make the decisions that they want to make.
I totally agree. People buy with emotion and they justify with logic. And I've been in sales conversations where people are like, oh my God, you're not even talking. I'm selling on myself on how I should be working with you. And I'm like, yeah, you are. So what gets people into that point where they start selling themselves on an emotional decision? Because they've already made it and then they just need to logically say it out loud, like why they're making
Most
a buying
made
decision.
The decision. Yep, they just need to give themselves permission. And most people struggle the most with giving themselves permission, because permission means sometimes they're making a change that feels uncomfortable. Maybe it's uncomfortable because it's new. Maybe it's uncomfortable because it doesn't feel responsible. It doesn't feel logical. It doesn't feel whatever. But their heart knows and their soul knows that that's what they want to do. So the majority of the time people made a decision. It's what's it going to take to give yourself permission? And I've straight up asked that to people too. I'm like, hey, I'm hearing there's a version of you that wants to do this and a version of you that's a little hesitant. Who would you like me to support? Like, I'm not here to talk anybody into anything that they don't want. I'm not selling ice to a polar bear. I'm not selling TV to a blind man. I'm helping you make a decision that's best for you. And if it's best for you and it works for me, then it's the right decision. If it's not best for you and I talk you into, if your yes means no, or if your yes doesn't mean yes and you really wanted to say no, it doesn't help anybody. If you're no, really, you wanted to say yes, that doesn't help anybody. Mm-hmm. So when we ask questions that invite them to continue to take that next step, those are the micro commitments. So things like, hey, I'm hearing there's a version of you that wants to do this and a version of you that's maybe a little hesitant. Who would you like me to support? Or if somebody's like, I need some time to think about this. Great. How much time would feel like enough? 3 days. Yeah. Okay. You know, I'm curious. A lot of people a couple days later have maybe shifted their mind a little bit about things. When we follow up in 3 days, there might be a version of you who still wants to do it and a version of you who is a little, you know, maybe hesitant. Who would you like me to support?
I love that question. Who would you like me to support? The version of you who wants to or the version of you who doesn't want you?
I'm hearing two versions of you. There's a version that wants to, there's a version that doesn't. Who would you like me to support? It's hard for people to say, support the version of me that wants to stay stuck, especially if you've done your job that you should do as a salesperson and ask them all the questions that help them recognize that this problem is a problem worth their attention. If you haven't gathered that context, if you didn't stay curious, if you didn't build the case for why they need what you have, then here's what you're doing. You're selling a nice to have. You're trying to sell a nice to have. And sales is not about embellishing yes. It's about destroying the option of no.
Oh, you have so many tweetables. I love this. It's not about embellishing the yes. It's about destroying the no. So good. Last question. What is a good amount of time for somebody who's new in sales to set aside for a consultation or a strategy call?
Like with their prospects?
Yes, with their prospects, to get all this information and to build the rapport that you're describing.
I would say it's going to be different depending on who it is and what they sell. I mean, there's so many different, you know, answers I could give to this, but what is an amount of time? And this is probably the most important thing that I could share about my answer. What's the amount of time that you would need to give someone value in a conversation? And I don't mean sell your value. I don't mean here's my package and here's what it is. No. I mean, what can you offer them that's going to make their time with you something that feels like time well spent, and that whether or not they ever move on to buy from you gives them some recommendation or action step that leaves them better off than when you found them? There's a concept in this book called The Science of Getting Rich. It's chapter 14. If you've never heard of it or read it, it's so good.
Who's The Science of Getting Rich by?
Wallace Wattles.
Okay.
And chapter 14 is The Impression of Increase. And this is just a universal truth for anything, any interaction or experience we have. We should always be seeking to leave people with more.
Absolutely.
And so if you're going to do a strategy session or a discovery call or whatever you want to call it, and you're new to sales, build something that really operates on that principle, the impression of increase. What could you do in a 20 minute, 15 minute, 30 minute, whatever, that's going to be an exchange of value for them while also allowing you to get to know them a little bit better, and then decide on what the next best steps are. Maybe that's coming to your next free masterclass. Maybe you do weekly lives in your Facebook group and you invite them to join you on the next one. Whatever it is, make sure that whatever you're offering, your intention is to leave someone with more.
Beautiful. Well, this has been such a great conversation, Nicole. I can't wait to continue it offline. So how can people stay in touch with you?
I am very active on Instagram at the Nicole Kramer. So please find me at the Nicole Kramer on Instagram. If you liked the questions that we talked about today, I actually have a gift that I'm happy to give you if you reach out to me on DMs. It is a list of 23 questions that sell. So find me on Instagram, send me a DM that says, saw you on Rebecca's podcast, would love the questions. And I'll be happy to share that with you and get you on your way to asking better questions.
Thank you so much. Well, everyone, thank you for tuning in to another wonderful episode of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Whitman, taking you from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. We are so happy you're on the journey. Don't forget to subscribe to the show, whether you're listening on Apple or Spotify. And if you could take a couple minutes out of your schedule and give us a 5-star review, that would just mean the world, and the show would keep growing and the movement would keep growing, that you can achieve everything you want in life without burning out and being exhausted. Until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye, everyone.
Hey, you. Ready to make 2025 the year that you actually keep those resolutions? Let's get real. Most goals fizzle out by February, but not this time, not you. Why? Because I've got something that will set you up for success like never before. Join me for my complimentary New Year, New You workshop on December 29th at 12 p.m. Pacific. We're talking next level confidence, clarity, and the tools to make your wildest dreams come true. Oh, and did I mention your free gift? Every attendee will get 21 customized affirmations handcrafted to help you crush your goals and step into the most magnetic version of you. This isn't just another workshop. This is your launch pad to an abundant, sexy, aligned life. Don't miss it. Just click the link in the show notes to save your spot now. Start your year with intention, because 2025 is yours for the taking. New year, new you, new possibilities. Let's make it happen.
I've been grinding, yeah, I'm on my way. No time to stop, got moves to play. Goals in sight, I'm taking aim. Every step, I'm changing the game. Feel the fire, yeah, it's burning bright. Pushing limits, reaching new heights. No excuses, I'm all in. Turn it up, let the race begin. Level up, don't look back, let's go. Set the pace, watch me steal the show. Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising fast. This is my moment, it's built to last. Keep the focus, keep the drive. No slow motion, I'm alive. Power surging, can't deny. I'm unstoppable, touch the sky. Level up, yeah, this is the fight. Feel the rush, can't kill the stride. Eyes ahead, I'm moving strong. This is the anthem, let's sing along. Feel the fire, yeah, it's burning bright. Pushing limits, reaching new heights. No excuses, I'm all in. Turn it up, let the race begin. Level up, don't look back, let's go. Set the pace, watch me steal the show. Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising fast. This
it's built to last. Keep the focus, keep the drive. No slow motion, I'm alive. Power surging, can't deny. I'm unstoppable, touch the sky. Level up, yeah, this is the vibe. Feel the rush, can't kill the stride. Eyes ahead, I'm moving strong. This is the anthem, let's sing along.